you know, move from just doing coaching with the leaders, but actually spilling over into how the schools can change, to actually see it practically change, because it's all about change management. And so organizational development happened within the leadership team, but now it was time to really see the change in the organization where it touches the children and touches the community. And that's where Strong Schools came in, with the dual focus that it always ran together, focusing inside. That's why we have this the picture of a tree, and we say the change, leading the change from the root to the fruit, because the root is the leadership team within the school and the support structures that it has. And then obviously how strong the root is will determine how high and how successfully the tree can grow and then produce the right fruit. So that's what they do. Camino facilitates organizational development, which includes leadership, strategic planning, and coaching of these individual leaders within the schools. And Strong Schools then comes in to coordinate community involvement, to then take those plans, the strategic plans, and everything the leaders have in them, and just help them to make it a reality.
Indeed. Now, one thing I do understand as a result of our conversations, and I have written in Boerlander about what you're doing, is that one of the pivotal requirements at each of these 13 schools is a coordinator, because that's the person or that is going to pull together the initiative that's going to occur at each of the schools and take into consideration the unique circumstances that confront each school. Is that correct?
Yes. So that is our dream for now. At the moment, the involved parties include the facilitators of Camino Consulting, who are organizational development practitioners and professionals, and then the WCED circuit managers are very closely involved, the three circuit managers are appointed to our school. And then we have included, well, obviously, the principals and the SMTs, and we have here and there, we have some SGBs also involve representatives, and we want to take it a step further to now take it to businesses, other NGOs, volunteers, other parents who will form part of the stakeholder group who wants to see the school flourish now, because we've invested in the psychological development of the school's management staff. And now it is time for the community to support them in their vision for their own schools, but just to give them that hopes to it, so it's not an Afrikaans effect.
Indeed. Now, let's just talk about the coordinators for a moment. The last time we spoke, you did tell me that you had identified a coordinator for one of the primary schools and one of the high schools. But one of the circumstances that you're confronted with is that although the Rupert Foundation funds the organization development component of what Strong Schools is doing, what you do need is you do need sponsorship for each of the 13 coordinators that is going to be the glue that holds together at each of those schools. This initiative holds the hub together. Is that correct?
Yes, if that could happen, I mean, wow. At the moment, we've identified two. Yes, that's correct. And we want to run them as prototypes, because it is the first time something like this would happen, to have like a round table where all these parties are represented and to come up with plans that are specific for their schools. But, I mean, if we do this, how long has lockdown been already? And if we do this now and then, you know, things go so it's such a lag process. If we have someone that can coordinate the cooperation and the collaboration between the stakeholders and the community outside to actually make the plans practical and turn them into reality, then obviously we will see change that much faster, especially now that the schools are already supposed to be operating, or we hope they would be operating already. But some see such great obstacles, and like you also mentioned in your editorial, how are they supposed to come up with all these plans of homeschooling and social distancing at school with all the masks and sanitizers and all the safety precautions they have to take into consideration. It's not a magic wand that you just get all these things in place. It actually takes a lot of collaboration. So if someone coordinates that on a daily basis, we will see these things be put in place that much faster and not sit around and wait for the government or the WCED to come to one individual school. We have to take ownership of every individual school.
Right. So the call, in actual fact, aside from the call to parents and other institutions and organizations who might be able to contribute at each of the schools in growing the hub and realizing the ambitions of the school, there's actually a call out there to organizations and individuals who might like to be play a part in sponsoring the coordinators we need at those 13 schools.
Yes, that would be fantastic. So the Rupert Foundation is sponsoring the development of the psychological capital within the school. And it's so relevant for this time. We call it a VUCA world, which we are living in, which is volatile, uncertain, complex, and very ambiguous. But we don't want to live in that VUCA world. We want to lead our leaders in the school to help them to translate into a place that has vision, understanding, clarity, and agility so that they can really deliver. We have great expectations of these people and of these schools, but let's help them, let's rally around them to actually make it happen.
Indeed, and is it coincidental that the Nguni word VUCA means wake up?
That the what will come into?
Is it coincidence? Is it entirely coincidental that the Nguni word VUCA means wake up?
I'm sure it's not.
Corinne, if we could just move a moment, because when I first engaged with you a couple of weeks ago, you, in fact, I telephoned you and you were in your car at the time and you were busy delivering masks and sanitizer to some of the 13 schools with which Strong Schools works. Because I'd like to talk briefly about the agility with which your organization pivoted when it became evident that grade 7s and grade 12s were going to be returning to school. Tell me a little bit about what you did there and how you stepped up to be able to assist the 13 schools that you work with to be ready when the time came for their grade 7s and 12, grade 12s to come back.
Yes, it was even before we knew about grade 7 and 12, and we were just in the first 2 weeks of lockdown, we realized that our normal plans for the year with our development, organizational development, wouldn't happen. So we went back to the Rupert Foundation and altered our plans to be more COVID-specific so we can still support our schools. I mean, this is the worst time to withdraw and say, you know, good luck. We want to be there helping them to get through this crisis. So because we were waiting for feedback and everything was so uncertain, we thought, okay, let's get practical. So we started rallying some volunteers who started making masks from their homes. So there were ladies who actually earned a little income and then other ladies who did it for the love of the cause. 26 at the end, I think, who were involved in making masks. And we delivered 2,490 masks on the Friday, the 22nd of May, before schools opened. And then in the meantime, another 2,150 have come amongst all these volunteers. So we'll do another round of deliveries to our schools for their use. Yes, so what we basically did is just do a call to action to all our networks and people we know personally and invited them to be part of this huge challenge. And they responded so positively. So that's the power of a community coming together and doing this dual approach of, you know, strengthening the leadership on the inside, but also getting the support from the surrounding communities, businesses, organizations, individuals. It's all in our interest to have our schools flourish because it's going to impact our whole society. Even if it's across the street from us and it's our children that don't go to that school, it impacts our society. We are in this all together.
Because those children at some point in the future are going to be the employees of businesses in the Helderberg Basin. So it is actually in the interests of those businesses to participate in this venture. Now, just on the mask issue, I recall you telling me that it's not just a case of having made the masks and having volunteers, but in this time of COVID-19, where so many people are without an income and who are struggling, you were able to put 20,000 Rand back into the community for a number of people who were making masks for this initiative. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's grown since then. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's closer to 30,000 at this stage of payments that we've made out to individual ladies. As they deliver a batch of masks, we do a payment for them. So that obviously comes from all the donations that people have made. So it was a great opportunity for people who wanted to put their hands up. And it was people in the communities, Nomzamo, Solaris Pass, and Temperance Town, were individual groups of ladies making masks for their own communities.
Talk to me a little bit about the fact that some children are going to find themselves still at home because of comorbidities and not able to attend school. Are there plans on the ground that you're aware of, and are you involved in any initiatives at these particular 13 schools to be able to continue to provide some form of online education for those children?
Yeah, well, there's lots of ideas floating around, but like we said in the beginning, it's about being specific to each school. They all have unique challenges within their stakeholder groups. So that's why the hub is so important, to have the collaboration and representative voices of different parts of a school, so that we together we can come up with relevant plans that are actually practical and implementable, but just then take it to the community and say, listen, this is what would be great at this school, let's make it happen. For argument's sake, if we needed more space for a specific school, could we rent out, or obviously if it would be free, if someone would be able to avail extra space in their warehouse and we could set up a classroom. This is just an example, but nothing, we haven't been involved in something that is rolling out at this stage, but this is where we are headed.
So essentially what we're talking about is a group of schools who are vulnerable to a greater or lesser extent, depending upon the circumstances of each school. We're talking about schools that quite frequently are under-resourced because of the circumstances that we are confronted in our education system. So in a sense, this is also a call to organizations, individuals, and potential stakeholders out there in our community who might be in a position to render some form of assistance to these various schools in order for them to be able to better resource themselves and better equip themselves to get pupils and learners through the balance of the year in particularly trying circumstances.
Yeah. So our normal focus was to do whole school improvement programs at each school and whatever their strategic focus was to help them implement it. But now in the COVID time, it's actually exactly the same model, but just very honed in on the need to get through the rest of the year, like you say. And what does that entail? Very practically, all the safety measures, your masks, your sanitizers, your cleaning. So that will, for argument's sake, need volunteers to help clean up the classrooms, more space to incorporate social distancing, more volunteers to do all the testing of pupils coming in and out, for argument's sake. And then on the other side, help the teachers and the academic staff to condense or change or prepare for different types of lessons, different assessment methods, and then taking into account the pupils who might willing or might choose to stay at home, or those who haven't come back to school yet, you know, all the other grades apart from grade 7 and 12. So whatever plans we can come up with that is practical for them to be accessible for them. So something we've been thinking about is rather using radio as a channel instead of relying on online teaching where the data is not an accessible thing to most of these households.
Corinne, if anybody wants to contribute in some fashion to your initiative, who do they call?
They're very welcome to go to our website. It's www.strongschools.co.za, just like that, strongschools.co.za, and all our contact details are on there. Otherwise, they're also welcome to email us at strongschoolsza@gmail.com at this stage.
strongschoolsza@gmail.com. Corinne Maria, thank you very much for joining me on What's the Buzz, and thank you for sharing with the community what it is that you're doing to help so many vulnerable schools in the Helderberg.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We really believe in our schools and in our leaders, and we want them to succeed. So if we can all rally together, we could really do something that hasn't been done before and make the change happen.
Indeed.
Thanks, Norman.
And that was Corinne Maria, founding director of Strong Schools, an organization that is making a significant difference in the Helderberg Basin by focusing on empowering and resourcing and assisting 13 of the vulnerable schools in the Helderberg Basin.